You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, it's all about cage fights at the Cowboy. It goes down tomorrow night, that's September 8th, at the Electric Cowboy in Johnson City, Tennessee. And it is the next stop on the MMA Road Warrior Tour. I'm Casey Oxendine, and of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, I've already said it in the intro. Cage Fights and the Cowboy, it's happening this Friday night, tomorrow night. And we've got a pretty sick lineup.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for it. We're coming off of an off week kind of for us, so we've got our batteries charged up and ready to rock it out here at the Electric Cowboy. It'll be the first time that we've done an event there, but I believe there was an event there several years ago, so it's gone stagnant for several years, and we're about to rock it out again. We've got a really, really cool lineup and some pretty solid fights. I think it's gonna be a good show. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know the MMA Road Warrior Tour, really, it's one of those things where it's not just, it's about the fights. It's about the action, and that's something we really want. Now, speaking of having fun, we are joined tonight by Cutman Extraordinaire Mark Laws. And also, I don't know what to call you, man. You're a crazy fighter, but now you look kind of like a wild man. But I'll just leave it at this. Sawyer Rich is here with us.
Sawyer, by God, really.
Mark Sawyer, what's going on, you two?
Well, if he's getting any nickname, it should be the light heavyweight. Looking at him, I'd say he's around 207, guessing. But no, you know me, man. I'm excited for any kind of fights going on. Yeah, I'd work seven a week if possible. So I'm excited. It's a double weekend for me. Also got Black Diamond Beat down in Southwest Virginia going on with Roy Sanders, and just excited to work, man. To get my mind right again.
What's up, man? I've been training in Jamestown, my hometown, teaching MMA a few days a week. Training pretty regularly as of the last couple months, hoping to fight maybe at the end of the year, man. I'm looking forward to see you fight, that's for sure. So good luck in that and your training camp and all you do.
Who are you? Who are you talking to?
Are we not on the one channel?
Wait a minute, what?
No.
Wait a second.
Are we not talking to Chandler Killer right now?
No, Chandler's not here. Chandler's coming on for the official preview. Yeah, see, you guys are part of the show.
No, I understand.
This is great stuff. This is great.
Yeah.
So I thought you were looking at me. Sawyer was looking at me, and he was saying, man, I'm good luck on your fight. And I'm like, do you know something that I don't know? Because I don't know anything about that.
Never mind, I'm sorry.
Sawyer is a debutante with the podcast, so we're going to break him in good tonight.
All right. It is a great night, and we are indeed going to be talking to Chandler Cole very shortly. All right, it is time for the Valor Hour Q&A segment where you, the listeners, ask Valor Fights President Tim Loy your questions, and he answers them on air. So here we go. Tim, you ready for it?
I think so, man. Let's do it.
All right. Well, real quick, first off, are you watching UFC 215 this weekend?
Yeah, I'm sure I will. I don't usually miss anything if it's a pretty big show, and so yeah, I'm sure I'll be checking it out.
Okay.
Hungover.
Yeah, short but sweet. So we'll move on. Question number two, is Mighty Mouse the greatest of all time?
Man, the numbers say that he is, I guess, but to me, I gotta say, just in short, no. I mean, he's probably the greatest flyweight, I guess, of all time, but I don't know that he's the greatest fighter of all time. Pound for pound, I guess you could maybe, I don't know. I mean, there's so many intangibles. He just hasn't had that many big fights, and there's not that many, like, big fights for him.
Absolutely. All right. Well, question number three. A lot of complaints about how DJ has been marketed. If you're the UFC and you're in their shoes, how do you market Johnson to turn him into a true superstar?
Man, it's tough because the division just doesn't have that many, marketable characters, if you will. You look at all the other divisions and you've got your Cody Garbrandts and your Conor McGregors and your Diazes and your, it seems just like the bigger guys seem to just kind of put it out there more than the flyweights. There just aren't a whole lot of flyweights out there that are marketing. You know, it's not necessarily up to them to market themselves, but they've got to make it interesting and intriguing for the UFC to be able to sell big time fights.
So are you saying, okay, imagine if Conor McGregor were a flyweight, do you think that he would be the same superstar? Do you think that he is who he is because he would make flyweight fighting more popular, or do you think it's the other way around that it could have detracted because he is the smallest weight class in fighting? You know, what kind of claims can he really make? He's fighting the smallest guys in the business.
I'm not knocking on the guys because they're small. I think it just is what it is. Kind of, it's more like, you know, yes. If to answer your question, if Conor were a flyweight, Conor's Conor, and I think the flyweight division would be super hot because Conor would make it hot because, you know, he's a polarizing figure. There just aren't any flyweights right off the top of my head that I just really want to, you know, keep up with and follow and see what they're doing. And, you know, I may be in the minority.
All right. The final question of this episode, Amanda or Valentina?
Man, when it was originally supposed to happen, that was the show that I lost all our tickets for in Vegas. And I would have been on Nunez, but I don't know. Now maybe there's some heart issues, you know? I mean, she, from what I hear, it wasn't, you know, a massive issue that caused her to pull out of the fight on the day. And so I don't know. Well, I'm going to go with Shevchenko now. I've jumped ship.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stay with Amanda Nunes on a personal level. I think that anything can happen there. You know, these weight cuts, I think they're turning out to be worse than what people think. And as far as, you know, a lot of the fatalities that we've had in the business here in mixed martial arts, I think a lot of that has stemmed from that. You see the guys, once they're exhausted at the very end and they're taking too much punishment, they sort of fade away, and that's when some stuff really bad happens. So, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. In other words, now this question has a part two, part B, if you will. Speaking of Amanda, what's the strangest reason you've got from a fighter for backing out on fight week?
Man, I wish that I'd had some preparation time on this one, man, because honestly, like I didn't, you know, if I did, I would probably come up with some really good shit, but we could have a whole episode of this, honestly. Off the top of my head, best excuse for pulling out of a fight. Golly, man, you've put me on the spot here, and there's so many ridiculous ones over the years. You know, the no ride thing, the working thing, those are really kind of more common. They're really not like that. It's terrible to say, but they're not like that uncommon. I would have to say something along the lines of, you know, losing your job, which doesn't really, you know, have anything to do with you being able to get to the fight or not. Or, I've totally struck out on this one. If I'd had time, then I feel like I could have put together a list. In fact, next week, to make this up, I will compile my top five ever pullouts and include details and names. Is that a fair compromise?
Absolutely fair. And we'll be electrocuting some folks as well. We're going to put them on trial for those penalties as well. That does it for another segment of the Valor Hour Q&A. Moving on, it is time to get to those interviews. We have two great ones tonight. We are joined by Ovince St. Preux, OSP UFC superstar, and in my estimation, Mr. Tennessee. He heads back to the UFC September 23rd for UFC Fight Night 117 in Japan to face Shogun Hua in a monumental rematch. Ovince, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, man. This is Tim here, by the way. We're, you know, just over 2 weeks from this big fight. Main event for you. You're no stranger to the main event, but it'll be your first time, if I'm not mistaken, fighting in Japan. Are you excited about that? Fighting in a landmark venue like the Super Arena there, where so many huge events have taken place. Is that is the whole experience of that whole trip? Is that a big deal for you, or is it just kind of whatever?
It's definitely a big deal for me. It's just one of them things where, you know, I've always wanted to fight in Japan. I mean, even back in the day when everybody talked about mixed martial arts or, like, watching the old Pride fights and stuff. Because before I even really started watching a lot of UFC fights, I used to watch all the Pride fights. And, you know, I get to be a part of that now.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Pride, because you're over in Japan fighting one of those guys that I'm sure you watched back in the day, Shogun Hua, one of the original Shootbox guys. And it's crazy because you've already beaten him once before, and you beat him very handily, 30-some seconds into the first round. You clipped him really quick. This time, you know, it's that was back in 2014, so almost 4 years later, and you're back there, but this time it's kind of in his home territory where he came from. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean to you that it not only is it Japan, but it is also Shogun Hua there?
You know, I've thought about it, and, you know, since I've thought about it, it's just kind of one of the same similar situations to as in when I fought him in Brazil. I was in the same situation too. You know, I'm in his home country. You know, he's, you know, when you talk about mixed martial arts, everybody knows who Shogun is. And now is, you know, kind of the same thing, because, you know, he started his fight career there. And the last time he actually fought there was 2006, and he was still a Pride champ back then. So I feel like, to me, I feel like everything is, you know, working in my favor, just for the simple fact, you know, it's almost like a deja vu experience from when I fought him in Brazil.
We'll talk about your fight camp leading up to this. You know, you've had a pretty good amount of time to, you know, prepare for it. You've known about the fight for a little bit. You know, has it been going smoothly? Any new things you've been working on, or is it kind of the same routine as always? If it's not broke, don't fix it. I've, you know, not to spill any beans on anything that's going on in your training camp, but rumor has it you've got some sneaky things potentially up your sleeve.
I'm always having something sneaky. I'm learning very quickly. You know. Just been all the training I've been doing has been going really, really good. Working with a new strength coach, Frankie, at Frankie's Body Shop, and I'm feeling stronger, faster than ever. There's a difference between being strong, but, you know, I can keep the pace there a lot better than I usually have. And I still feel good overall. Like, every, you know, my jiu-jitsu has gotten way better. My wrestling definitely has gotten better too. So everything all around is, you know, it's pretty much elevated, has gotten better. So even my striking is just more of a freestyle type of deal now. You know, I'm able to, instead of, you know, being in a situation where I'm just fighting right and left-handed, I can go both ways now at will. I mean, I was able to do that, but, like, you know, my coach Eric gave me more of a free will of actually doing that now. So everything's just dynamic. Everything gonna hit you. I can hit you from pretty much any angle. My wrestling coach John, he's been working wonders with me. So I feel like my wrestling is definitely gonna be a dominant factor in that. Plus, I've just been feeling good. I'm feeling fast. I'm strong. You know, and my IQ of the game has just gone out the roof. Like, I tell people at times, when you actually look at me, you look at me in 2014 when I fought Shogun, more than likely there's going to be somebody completely different, even though I knocked him out in 34 seconds.
Yeah, you know that the first one was spectacular performance, and you never know how the, you know, you're a football player, so you know it's hard to beat, you know, when you're talking about highly skilled teams or fighters, for that matter. It's hard to beat the same guy two times in a row. In that particular fight, it was so quick, you know, that it's hard to say how things would play out a second time, if it would be that quick or not. So, you know, you obviously have to imagine that you're going to get a completely different fight this time. And I'm sure that Eric and Joey and the great coaches at KMAA will have you ready for that. When are you planning on, you know, I know you went over there to do some promo stuff already, so it's not your first trip over there, but do you plan on going, or are they going to bring you over there a good amount of time in advance to acclimate to, you know, the time changes, things like that, or, you know, when are you planning to head over there?
We're initially talking about trying to get over there almost a week and a half ahead of time, but given the fact that when I actually went over there to do my promo and stuff, to be honest, like, my body acclimated to Japan's time within probably a day. You know, I took some melatonin and made sure I took a good nap on the plane, woke up, my body was back on the sleep cycle. So that helped out tremendously. And, you know, by doing that, that put me in a situation to where, you know, I just told my trainer, Eric, I said, look, we can be there a week ahead of time. I'm going to be fine. So that's what we shooting for. We're there a week ahead of time. And whenever we get back, whenever we get there, just, you know, go to work.
Well, real quick, Vince, I'm going to give you a chance to give your shout outs where they are due. Of course, all your friends and family throughout the years, teammates that have helped you get where you are, as well as all of your social media plugs so we can follow you. Obviously, as always, we are very, very proud to have you representing not only us, but the UFC over there in Japan. So I'm going to give you a chance to give your roll call now.
Definitely want to give a shout out to my gym, Natsu Martial Arts Academy. Both of my trainers are Eric and Joey. Big shout out to those guys. I've been with them since day one. And, you know, we've been a lot of good times, bad times, but more good times than bad times. You know, I definitely want to give another shout out to Frankie's Body Shop. That guy, every time somebody asks me, how's he training with Frankie? And I just tell him, you pretty much just die. But at the end of the day, you know, that's the reward. You know, you end up being a beast during the fight. Also, guys have been helping me out in my training camp. You know, my wrestling coach, John. Also, Alan, Isaac Fine. Jesus Christ, he's a freaking beast. Who else I'm missing? I always give a shout-out to my fraternity. If I'm missing anybody, sorry. But, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much everybody, I think.
All right, OSP returns to action September 23rd at the Saitama Super Arena. It is UFC Fight Night 117. Oh, Vince, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Man, fellas, thank you for having me.
We are joined by Cole Farrell, 3-0 professional mixed martial arts fighter out of X3. He prepares to face Latrell Purdue at Valor Fights 45, October 21st in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Cole, this is a guy that is never at a loss for words. Thanks for joining us tonight.
It's good to be here, man. It's always a good time on the Valor Hour podcast, baby.
Always a pleasure to have you, man. You know, so talk a little bit about what's been going on since the last time we spoke to you. You know, you're 3-0 still. I think the last time we spoke to you was after your last win still. So what's been happening since then? You know, you're coming off your the last fight, which was another first round finish. You know, what's been happening in between? We know you had some issues with a fight that we talked to you about that fell through in the Midwest. I think we talked to you about that. You know, yep. What's been happening since then? You know, you've had a gym change, I know, and you know, all that stuff. Just talk a little bit about what's been going on the past few months.
Yeah, man. Well, first off, me is the baddest man in the land. I've been upset lately. I've had a bunch of little bum bitches back out in the past few months in three different organizations, and I've just been itching to get in there and behead someone again. And the journeyman Latrell Purdue has enough hair on his testicles to share the cage with me, so for that I respect him. But I'm gonna go in there, do what I normally do. As far as what's been going on since I beheaded Bruce Duckett April 15th, I've just been training hard. Right now, I'm at the racetrack grabbing a Gatorade. I just finished 3 hours of clean work. solid jiu-jitsu, solid MMA rounds, solid Muay Thai with all the killers at X3. So that gym change has been well. Been trying to find a fight. Valor is my home. I know I will not be let down with Valor. So I'm just pumped for October 21st. And that's what's next for me, man. Outside of that, I've just been putting in this work and preparing myself to make another statement.
Well, you know, of course, like he's mentioned, you're facing Latrell Purdue. And this is a guy who, you know, he's a I believe you mentioned him saying he's a journeyman, but at the same time, he can be a very, very dangerous individual at times. And particularly right out of the gate, he comes swinging for the fences. He does have some power in those hands. What are you looking to do? Are you looking to get it on down to the ground and try to finish it off there? Or are you going to keep it on the feet and make it interesting for these fans in Chattanooga?
Well, first off, I love Tennessee. Tennessee loves me. It doesn't matter where I'm at in Tennessee. This is going to be my first time in Chattanooga. I'm ready to take over this area of Tennessee. As far as what I'm going to do to Latrell, I'm going to do whatever I want to do to him. Casey, you're right. He's seasoned, man. Dude's got 9 wins as a Hammy. I think 4 or 5 of those wins are straight KOs. He's going to outweigh me by about 22 to 23 pounds, I'd say, on fight night. I'm a clean 141 right now, feeling mean and lean. I'm going to do what I please with him. I do see myself rocking him with the first punch I land. I see him shooting desperately, and I could take his back and pound him out that way, sink the hooks in, flatten him out, or just make him get back up and try to go for the KO. I think I'm going to let my fans and my supporters decide how Latrell goes away October 21st.
Well, there you go, man. Now, you mentioned you are coming up to 145 pounds. That's something new for you. It is. It has to be, you know, always looking for a challenge. This is something different. You guys move a little bit differently when you add that 10 pounds on. Anything different, or is it just a different way, a different perspective career?
Well, it's partially to make a statement and partially because I'm confident at this weight class as well. You know, I've fought several times at 125 as an amateur, 135 pro debut against Hockenberry, last 2 fights at 130. I say, why not go up to 145, dabble around a little bit? This will not be a permanent thing for me. I'll have a few fights at 45 and then make my way back down to 35 and 30 where I'm comfortable. But you got to think, man, I train with some of the top 45ers and 55ers in Georgia on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm giving these guys work. They give me work. So, these guys in the cage with me, regardless of what weight class, they're not going to show me anything I haven't already seen. The 145ers are just too slow for me. I hit harder than most of them. You know, people can say what they want about Latrell and his record, but, you know, he's a tough guy. And people don't realize that if I'm as good as I say I am, I'm going to have to fight the best in the fucking planet before it's all said and done. And when the time comes, everyone will eat their words. So this fight at 145 for me, Casey, is just to kind of show people like, hey, you know, I'm a little guy, but I can knock out a big guy. I can submit a big guy. I can do what I want with him. I came from shit, man. I came from the gutter. So no one can tell me anything. And no one is beating me. I took my losses as an amateur. I had 5 years as an amateur. That was my learning experience. People act like Cole needs to be humbled. Cole needs to take a loss. Well, those people can blow me. I know what it feels like to be on the other side of the fence, and I am not fucking going back. And it's as simple as that. And all of these people in Georgia hate on me, in the Midwest, wherever. You can hate on me, but you're going to want to watch me. And then when I win, you go to bed sad. It's the same thing every night, and I go drink whiskey and have fun. It's the same process every time, so... On October 21st, I'm not going to underestimate Latrell as I don't underestimate anybody, but I'm going to finish him within 2 minutes of round one. You know, I'm going to try to get a majority decision from my family and friends and supporters on how they want him to be finished, and then that'll be my gift to them for buying out all these tables and stuff because I got a bunch of people coming to raise hell in Tennessee that night.
We're excited for it, man. And, you know, I don't know if you follow WWE or anything like that, but you know, if you do, Chris Jericho has got what he calls the list, and it's kind of like his shit list. You know, it's he'll be like, you just made the list. So who would be on the top three? You know, obviously, Colt Farrell's got a pretty good shit list started right now. Who's the top three names on the list?
Right now, man. Let's see. Anybody can get it at this point, as long as everything sounds right. People diss the way I've been doing things, and I try to tell people, this is not a pissing contest. You know, I'm smart about what I'm doing. But at this point, anyone who wants it can get it. I have people call me out on a daily basis. I have dozens of people that want to fight me. And I tell them all just to beg me. I tell them all to beg me, and they can keep begging me because I control the show. So as far as my shit list, I don't know. You got a skinny man, Chachi Tabor, who you told me has been talking shit for a while. Let's see. This bum, Cody Durden, who's 4-1 in the FC, he's been talking shit for a while. You just got a bunch of shit talkers on the shit list, honestly. And all they have to do is beg me. That's all they have to do because I control the show here. No one else controls the show. You can hate it or love it, but I control my own destiny. So, yeah, everybody wants to fight me, but that's just because they want to stay relevant and everybody knows I'm the next big thing. And even these people on the shit list, they fucking know I'm the next big thing. And they won't admit it for anything in the world. They're too fucking arrogant. They're way too arrogant for their own good. You know, everyone I've ever fought has thought that I'm just a guy who doesn't fight anyone. I'm going to be easy work. You know what I'm saying? I train with champions every day. You know, I train with world-class boxers, world-class Muay Thai specialists, world-class jiu-jitsu practitioners. So nobody's got nothing for me right now. I named you two names. Honestly, I can't even name you a third one because a lot of these guys are so fucking irrelevant to me.
Well, go, man, real quick. I'm going to let you give a shout out. You gave the shit list. Let's hear your shout outs, all the people that have helped you get where you're at. Of course, fans, friends, family, everybody, and also your social media plugs where we can find you, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, let's go. First off, God. My creator, I give all of my glory to him. Second of all, my family, my mom and my father, you know what I'm saying, always supported me, even through all of our struggles financially and through life. They've always been here in spirits with me, and that's what means the most to me. Third off, man, Valor and Tim Loy. I mean, I'm 3-0. Valor gave me my shot, my pro debut. Tim has been great. You know, I'm bringing Robert Hell and another X3 guy to bust their cherries, to lose their Valor virginity, and they're fucking stoked. Best promotion in the Southeast. So, yeah, God, family, and friends, and Valor, man, and X3, of course, my gym. You know, Robert Hell, Nathan Williams, all of those guys showing me love, looking out for me while I'm out here making sacrifices. Instagram, baby. Cole Farrell. MMA, simple as that. Cole Farrell, MMA, F-E-R-R-E-L-L. Facebook, Cole Farrell, MMA, same thing. Make sure you like that page. Twitter, Cole Farrell, MMA. I just created that bitch today, so make sure you follow me. Snapchat, Q Cole F, and that's it. I just ask everyone to stay tuned, and I ask my haters to please keep hating me because you just keep lighting this big blue flame underneath my ass cheeks. And that's what keeps me on my toes every day when I'm sweating. Like I said, dude, I'm still in this racetrack parking lot. I haven't even got my electrolytes yet. I'm feeling like a fucking savage after tonight. So, Tim, Casey, everyone on this podcast, I appreciate you guys listening. And I look forward to beheading Latrell in the first round on October 21st.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Cole Farrell returns to action at Valor Fights 45, October 21st in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Cole, we'll be looking for you very soon.
The baddest man in the land, baby. Thank you, guys. I'll see you soon.
That does it for our interviews for this week. Huge best of luck to both Ovince St. Preux and Cole Farrell in their upcoming endeavors. But now, moving on, it is time for the main event of this episode. And you know what that means. It's Cage Fights at the Cowboy, the official event preview. It goes down tomorrow night, September 8th, Friday, at the Electric Cowboy in Johnson City, Tennessee. The doors open at 5. Dark matches start at 5:30, and then the event kicks off live on Flow Combat at 6 p.m. Now, we have our lineup of guests here, our panel, if you will, and we're going to give our preview, and we're going to give our picks. Of course, I'm joined, as always, by Tim Loy, Valor Fights president, and also joined by Sawyer Rich, joined by Mark Laws, and we also have Chandler Cole via satellite. Chandler, are you ready for this big preview?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Chandler's on fire tonight, as is this whole panel, and we might as well get the ball rolling, get this started. As I mentioned, the dark bouts start at 5:30. We've got two of those. Bout number one, brought to you by Intimate Treasures, and it's contested in the featherweight division for Muay Thai. That is Muay Thai Juniors, 3 2-minute rounds. We're talking about Evan Ledford, the debut out of No Mercy MMA in Union, South Carolina, taking on Logan Gabbard, 0-1 out of Lee Karate Academy in Beattyville, Kentucky. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and start with the round table, and we'll start with the man, Tim Loy.
Well, you know, the dark match is a mixed bag. You know, I always encourage people to get there early and see some of this young talent that really there's not a whole lot to be known about. Generally, in this case, though, in the second one, we do know the guy's pretty good. In this one, it's juniors Muay Thai. We've got two young kids. We've got Logan Gabbard stepping up on short notice. He is 0-1. He made his debut at the UMAF tournament. He lost he got finished late in the third round. He was a very game opponent, though. There was several low blows. So he's 0-1, fights out of the Lee Kickboxing Academy there in Beattyville, trained by Tyler Crisman there, and he is 14 years old, I believe, taking on Evan Ledford, who is making his debut, only 13 years old, and he is out of Union, South Carolina, with the No Mercy group there, led by Paul Teague. Never know what you're going to get with these kids, but I'm sure they're going to get us started with a bang.
You know,
hey now, Mark, don't be snatching the mic. Okay, I'm over here, you know. I'm trying to keep this as neutral as possible. Okay, so moving on. We're going to get our first official pick here, and we're going to go to Mark Laws, Cutman extraordinaire.
Thank you, Casey. I was just excited about this one. I think nothing speaks more than experience in the cage, and with Logan having already fought once for us and having a year up on Evan, I think Logan probably gets it done. So I'm calling for a second round KO with headgear on. It's going to be beautiful.
Yes. All right. Mark Laws picks Logan Gabbard. Moving on. Sawyer Rich, take your pick.
I agree with Mark on that, because age, where they're so young, plays a big factor. And Logan Gabbard has been in there before. You know, when you've never been in there, you get kind of the goosies or whatever, and choke. So Logan is totally my pick for that one.
All right. Sawyer Rich picks Logan Gabbard as well. That is 2-0 for Logan Gabbard. And we move on to Chandler Cole. Chandler, make your pick.
As much as I don't want to agree with Mark, I'm going to have to say Logan Gabbard, you know, the experience thing plays a big role in the fight game, and the age from 13 to 14 is about the time that I went from no chest hair to some chest hair. So I'm going to have to go with Logan Gabbard on this one. He's already been in the cage, and that's who I see winning. So that's my pick.
All right. Oh, hold on a second.
I'm sorry. I saw you last week, and you still had no chest hair. I just want to make that clear.
Hey, wait until Friday. I'll show you this chest hair I'm rocking, man.
Well, let me tell you something about chest hair. Just for you guys, I just turned 40 years old. It leaves the top of your head and it goes to your chest and so forth. So, you know, don't think just because you got some thick chest hair now that it's not going to get any worse. Now, moving on. Bout number two, brought to us by TSI Diesel. There's a catch weight at 150 pounds. Roger Artrip, an independent out of Richlands, Virginia, taking on Chris Bond, the independent out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Tim, let's get the breakdown.
Well, this is a rematch. I believe it was both guys last. Well, Artrip actually fought since then. But, Bond, they fought at one of the 50-50 fight nights. Bond won with a first round. I believe he submitted him, if I could recall. And, or the rear naked choke potentially, or maybe a guillotine, something like that. Bond is 3-5, has bounced around from, you know, team to team over the course of the last few years. A very tall guy at featherweight. He's over 6 feet tall, and at 3-5, he'll be rematching against Roger Artrip, who is 1-7. He's lost several, and I believe he came to us maybe 1-1 or 1-2. So I think he's dropped 5 straight at least. Has dropped to 135 in his last fight and lost to James Cody. And I think that's really kind of where he needs to be still, but has been very adamant about this rematch with Chris Bond. Chris Bond's finally going to give it to him, and we'll see if Roger can make it any different than the first.
All right. Definitely one that's interesting because both these guys have had ups and downs in their career, so it's always see a matchup kind of like this, looking to kind of boost themselves out of the dark bouts. Let's get on to the picks. Come in, Mark Laws.
You know, I've known Chris Bond a long time. Roger Artrip too. You know, it's one of those things where these are the guys that I've had to put back together quite a few times. You know, I mean, we have intimate relationships, and so you know, with that being said, I'm excited about the fight, man. These bar battles fights are a different kind of animal, man, and especially these dark prelims. You don't know what you're going to get. And with that being said, I am actually going to take my homeboy, Chris Bond, by first round submission.
Mark Laws picks Chris Bond. Sorry, Rich. Give me your picks.
Yeah, this fight's interesting because it's a rematch, and Chris Bond came out on top first, the first time, and I think that may play a factor in Roger Artrip's head. I'm going to call Chris Bond by first-round stoppage.
All right. So your picks, Chris Bond. Finally, Chandler Cole, make your pick on this one.
You know, I would really like to pick the Virginia native, but I done my research before I picked these fights and went and watched some of their fights, and I actually came across this one. And it didn't look like Chris Bond had that much trouble beating him the first time. And so I'm going to have to go with Chris Bond. You know, both of their – and this is big for both of them. You know, they both have, you know, upside-down records, but, you know, both of them need this win to further their career. So I'm going to go with Chris Bond on this one.
All right. Chandler Cole picks Chris Bond as well. Yeah, no dissenting picks on either one of those matchups. And that does it for the dark matches of Cage Fight to the Cowboy. And we move on to our main card. Of course, the stream on Flow Combat begins at 6 p.m. with this fight, bout number 3. It is presented by Miller Lite and is in the light heavyweight division. At 205 pounds, contested under Muay Thai rules, it's Arrow X Timothy Blevins, the debut out of Team Titan Forged, West Jefferson, North Carolina, and he takes on Corey Austin, the debut out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, let's hear the breakdown.
These guys are going to get the main card started with a bang, I think. It's, two debut guys, but big guys are going to be able to throw some power. And, you know, Timothy Blevins, we don't know a whole lot about him. It's the first time anyone from his group has competed out of that area. He looks to be in pretty good shape. He's a little bit older gentleman, probably near 30 or so. I'm not saying that's old or that would make me ancient, but comparatively speaking to young Mr. Austin, Corey Austin is definitely a young man. Casey, what's he, 20 years old, give or take? He's 19 years old. The younger brother of Randall Austin, who we've already been seeing, a guy that Casey's been trying to get a debut for a few months now, and we've had a hard time getting anything to stick. So this one's going to happen. A lot of good talk and reports about Corey Austin as being one that we want to watch. He's got a wrestling background, so when he moves to MMA, he'll certainly have a leg up, but this one, he won't be able to use those takedowns. So it's a kind of a two debuts, but still, you know, kind of that an older, not again, not trying to say that Blevins is old at all, but Austin is just very young.
All right, well, let's get on to the picks. First up, Cutman Mark Laws.
You know, I learned a very valuable lesson during the Bellator Monster Energy Series, and that's never to pick against Casey's guys. But it's not only that reason. I'm picking Corey Austin for sure because he's Randall Austin's brother, and I like the way Randall fights. So I'm expecting Corey to bring the same thing. I don't know much about Timothy Blevins. He may be an absolute animal. He may bring the funk. Who knows? But I think Corey Austin will be able to handle it no matter what happens. So I'm taking Corey Austin, second round, TKO.
All right, Mark Laws picks Corey Austin. Sawyer Rich.
Yeah, these debut guys, you really don't know what to expect. These guys are a lot heavyweights. I know Corey Austin comes out of a very respectable camp, Team Oxendine. A lot of good guys, a lot of good drive. Don't really know a whole lot about Timothy Blevins. I'm going to go ahead and pick Corey Austin. He should come out, have a lot of good background, a lot of drive behind him, and I think he'll get the job done.
All right, Sawyer Rich picks Corey Austin. All right, one more pick, Chandler Cole.
I already told you I'm not doing this again, so I'm gonna pick Corey Austin just because I don't know, you know, much about either one of these guys, but I know that not to choose against Team Ox again, so that's definitely gonna choose Corey Austin. His brother's real talented, and I'm sure the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I'm excited to see this fight.
All right, Chandler Cole picks Corey Austin. And that does it for our third bout of the evening. Moving on to bout four, presented by the Electric Cowboy, contested in the middleweight division at 185 pounds. That is Muay Thai rules as well. Wes Monarch out of Bowman's Kickboxing in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Dylan Calhoun out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Let's hear the breakdown, Tim.
This one could be a sleeper. I honestly don't know too much about Calhoun. I know coming from Bushido, he'll have good striking. He's already 1-1, I guess, in MMA, although it's not on our circuit. So I'm not exactly real familiar with the guy. Except again, coming from Bushido, I expect him to be solid. We have, however, seen Wes Monarch. He debuted at Valor 43, I believe, or 42 in Newport, and he fought and lost a very tough decision to one of Ace Samples guys, Ronnie Williams, but showed a lot of toughness. And he's coming out of Terry Bullman's camp there in Knoxville, that all they do is kickboxing. So I am calling this an early pick for a sleeper fight of the night.
All right, well, let's get to the picks. Mark Laws, give us your take on this middleweight bout.
I know absolute zero about both of these guys. Wes Monarch, however, coming from Bowman's, that's a great, great kickboxing school. I respect everybody that comes from Bushido, too. I look for this to be a sleeper match, too, just like Tim said. You know, with it being Muay Thai rules, you know, I would have to lean toward Wes Monarch. But Dylan Calhoun, you know, making that debut, you know, if he comes out, makes a statement, could be helping his momentum go forward.
All right, so... so who did you?
Wes Monarch.
You picked Wes Monarch. Okay. All right. Moving on. Sorry, Rich. Make your pick.
Yeah, it's another one I'm not real sure about. Bushido MMA, great reputation for a really good stand-up school. Bullman's also a great gym to train at. I'm gonna pick Wes Monarch based on experience. Mark's pick. And I think that the experience is gonna play a factor. He's been there before. He'll be more comfortable.
All right, Sawyer Rich also picks Wes Monarch. Chandler Cole, what do you do? What's your take on this one?
Well, I'm going to agree with these two goofballs, but it's not because I don't know either one of them. I went back and watched the Wes Monarch fight against a Samples guy, and the kid was tough as nails. The only thing that I saw that I can relate to is he gassed out, and at the end, toward the end, you know, before the fight, I was like, what am I watching? Oh, my God. And then he goes up there and he's tough as nails. So I'm going to pick Wes Monarch just because I saw how tough he was his last fight. And I don't know nothing about Dylan Calhoun, but I'm excited to see him fight again. So I'm going to go with Wes Monarch.
All right. Chandler Cole does his homework and picks Wes Monarch.
Tough guy.
Yeah. And so Wes Monarch with all three votes here from our panel. So let's move on to bout number five, presented by Sprint PCS. A featherweight matchup at 145 pounds. Muay Thai rules. Steven Tanner, Bullman's Kickboxing in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Randall Austin out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City.
Yet again, early on the card, a sleeper fight for potential fight of the night, man. I think that, just to kind of set the table here, Steven Tanner, a teammate of Wes Monarch, obviously, from Bullman's. He made his debut on the same card in April, beating, I think his name is Chase Underwood from DJ Mackey's group. Very impressive kid, looked awesome. And he's taking on another kid that's really on a hot streak, and Randall Austin out of Casey's gym. He's 2-0, both finishes. So, you got two undefeated kids, two young up and comers, going to put it on the line against each other from two good teams. This one could very well. I wish that we'd done this like two or three fights later, honestly, now, so we could have had advanced rules, but like, it's going to be really good.
Yeah. And this is something, it's Randall Austin. He's one of those guys that, he always is asking for a tough fight. He's not asking for a fight to win. He wants a tough fight. So we were very, very excited for this one, because Bullman's is so well, it's a kind of a legendary name there in Knoxville, and we know Steven Tanner's going to come to bang, so we're very excited about that. Now, that being said, let's move on to our picks. Mark Laws.
My picks absolutely resemble the mentioned comments. Steven Tanner is an animal. He looked phenomenal last time we seen him. But so did Randall Austin. Randall Austin has absolutely done nothing but just, man, he's impressed me every step of the way. I'm going with Randall Austin. Third round TKO.
All right, Mark Laws picks Randall Austin. So you're rich. Make your pick.
Yeah, I think this fight is going to be awesome. I think this might be, it's probably going to be a fight of the night, maybe. Both of them are going to go for it for sure. They're both very talented. I'm going to pick Steven Tanner by second round stoppage TKO.
All right. Sorry, Rich picks Steven Tanner 1-1 right now. Tiebreaker goes to Chandler Cole.
I believe that Randall Austin is a great athlete, and I think he's going to bring a heavy dose of melatonin in those gloves. And I'm going to say second round knockout.
Wow. Okay. So Chandler Cole picks Randall Austin in a close matchup here. It's the closest one we've had all night long. So moving on. Bout number six, brought to us by 4G Custom Designs. A catch weight at 165 pounds. And it's mixed martial arts action. Justin Winchester out of No Mercy MMA in Union, South Carolina, taking on Christian Holman. Adversity Training Center, Somerset, Kentucky. Tim, let's do the breakdown.
This is the first MMA fight that we'll have on the card. And, we've got Justin Winchester, who is coming out of the No Mercy group. We've seen him in both of his bouts. 0-2 so far, but a very, very tough guy. He is always brings it in, always is looking to put on an exciting fight. He'll be looking for his first win here, and moving up a little bit in weight. Taking on Christian Holman, who is a debut out of Ian Lawler's team there in Somerset, Kentucky, the Adversity Training Center. Not a lot known about Holman. They call him the Bulldozer. I know looks to be athletic from what I can gather, the high school football player, and only 18 years old. So he's a young buck, and really not a whole lot to know about him beyond the fact that he's an athlete, a natural athlete playing football in high school and coming from Ian Lawler's group, which does a lot of, I imagine he'll be in shape.
Again, another very exciting potential matchup here. You don't really know what to expect, and as you mentioned, we've seen fireworks out of Justin Winchester before. Even though he's 0-2, he's fought some tough fights, and he does come out very explosively, so I'm excited for that. Now let's get the picks here. Mark Laws.
Look, I like Justin Winchester a lot, man. That guy, he impressed me, even though he's 0-2. Every time he comes out, he's ready to fight. And now, I don't know much about Holman, but I know Ian Lawler is not sending any slumps. About sending that guy to just die. Justin gets this one done. I think he gets it done early. First round, KO.
All right. Justin Winter?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mark Laws picks Justin Winchester. Sawyer Ridge, make your pick.
This one, I think, is going to be really exciting. It's our first MMA. Justin Winchester, as you guys said, really game, comes to fight every time. I'm picking Christian Holman based on the fact I think he comes out of a pretty solid team. He's probably really athletic. He's hungry. He's wanting to get that first win. I think he's going to go for it and get it done the first round.
Sawyer Ridge picks Christian Holman. We are split on this one. Tiebreaker goes to Chandler Cole.
I'm going to go with Christian Holman as well. You know, even though Justin has the experience, but, you know, everyone has to debut, and you never know what you're going to get out of them. But just from what Tim said, you know, he's already getting nicknames in the gym. Apparently, he's a bull and he works hard. So I'm going to go with Christian Holman. I'm excited to see him make his debut.
All right. Christian Holman takes the tiebreaker via Chandler Cole. Moving on. Bout number 7, presented by Intimate Treasures, contested in the bantamweight division at 135 pounds, Josh Whitted, out of Temple Underground Boxing, Morristown, Tennessee, taking on Cecil West, the debut out of Adversity Training Center in Somerset, Kentucky. Tim.
This is kind of the biggest mystery MMA fight on here, even for me. You know, this is a late addition. We added this one here just last week. Josh Whitted training out of the Temple Underground Boxing there in Morristown, making his debut. And, you know, I would have to imagine he's going to be a striker-oriented guy. He's going to want to keep it standing there and taking on Cecil West, who, you know, I also don't know a whole lot about, but also out of that same adversity training center there with Ian Lawler. And from what I can gather, a little bit older gentleman with more of a grappling background. So, you know, we've got your striker versus grappler, both guys stepping in the cage for the first time, though. So we'll see, you know, which one wins out.
All right, here we go. Mark Laws, it's time for you to make your pick.
Striker versus grappler. I choose grappler every time. No question. I'm going with Cecil West, and Whitted is going to get choked.
Wow. All right. Cecil West. That's the pick for Mark Laws. Sawyer Ridge, make your pick.
I don't know either one of these people. I know that Adversity Training Center, they put out some really athletic guys. They're both going to go for it because they're both debuts. And this fight is a complete mystery. I'm going to pick Cecil West just based on I think he's probably going to be more athletic, maybe overwhelm him, get the decision.
All right, 2 for Cecil West. Are we going to have a clean sweep? Chandler Cole.
Absolutely not, because I'm going to pick Josh Whitted just to pick against them. I don't know either one of these guys, but I just don't want to be like – I want to be the different one. So I'm going to pick Josh Whitted on this one.
All right. Well, Cecil said West still wins it out, but Whitehead goes out fighting. Moving on, bout number 8 presented by TSI Diesel, featherweight matchup at 145 pounds. Nick Campbell out of No Mercy MMA in Union, South Carolina, taking on Roman Evans, the independent out of Johnson City, Tennessee. Roman Evans returning to action.
Yeah, this one's another interesting one. I think is a potential fight of the night candidate. Nick Campbell, a guy that Paul Teague and company are very high on. Like I said, they're bringing several fighters out here to this one. They'll have 4 fighters, and Campbell is a guy that Paul's very high on, making his MMA debut against Roman Evans, who's already had a couple fights. He's 1-1, although his one loss was a disqualification loss, I think on a low blow or something like that. So he could very well be 2-0. Probably should be 2-0. Was probably on his way to being 2-0. And anyway, that was back several years ago, you know, that he used to train with the Ludus Group before they disbanded. Now he is back, is listed as an independent, but I imagine he's probably training with Dylan O'Sullivan, who we'll see later on the card. And, you know, so even though he does have a couple fights, it's been, you know, long enough ago to where I don't think it will have that big a bearing beyond maybe not having the nerves.
All right, well, let's get our picks. Mark Laws, are we going to see Nick Campbell or Roman Evans come out on top?
I believe Roman Evans is going to come out on top, and it's because of the tutelage of Dylan O'Sullivan. And I look forward to seeing this, man. It's going to be fireworks, and I think it's going to be one of the best MMA fights of the night.
All right. One mark for Roman Evans. Sorry, Rich. Make your pick.
It's going to be a good fight. I think Roman Evans gets it because he's in his hometown. He's had more experience. Nick Campbell's probably going to get nervous. Everybody gets nervous their first fight. I don't care what you say. Has a major advantage when you have experience. So I'm picking Roman Evans by stoppage second round.
All right. Roman Evans up 2-0. Chandler Cole, your pick.
You know, I'm going to have to agree with him on this one. He's fighting, you know, hometown. And, you know, 1-1, he's had two fights compared to Nick Campbell's zero fights. So I'm going to go with Roman Evans. I see him taking this fight.
All right. Well, there it is, a clean sweep for Roman Evans. Moving on to bout number 9, presented by the Valor Hour, catch weight at 200 pounds. Bailey Cooper out of No Mercy MMA in Union, South Carolina, taking on Michael Fletcher, the debut independent out of Asheville, North Carolina.
Another kind of mystery fight here. It's the first or the last guy that we'll see from the No Mercy group, Bailey Cooper. Very tall, you know, looks to be about 6'5", making his debut. Another guy that Paul Teague very high on from that No Mercy group, taking on Michael Fletcher, a guy that we know even less about out of North Carolina. Don't know a whole lot about him. He just accepted the fight a few days ago after Billy Combs was forced to withdraw. And again, we just don't know a whole lot about either guy. You know, it's two debut guys that are going to come out here and slug it out. At least they're big.
All right. Well, let's get our picks.
Yeah. I mean, this could be a great fight. It's debut versus debut. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, I'm excited to see what Cooper can do, man. And I'm excited to see what Fletcher gives. I think I'm taking Cooper round one TKO.
All right. Moving on, Sawyer Rich, make your pick.
Again, these are debuts. You don't know what to expect. We could come out Bailey Cooper. I'm going to go for Michael Fletcher. I think he's going to get it done early. First round TKO.
We've got one Bailey Cooper and one Michael Fletcher. We've got it's a split. Come on, Chandler.
I'm going to go with Bailey Cooper just because, you know, I got my cheat sheet here. And he trains at No Mercy MMA, and Michael Fletcher's an independent. And, you know, it makes a world of difference when you're in a gym and you have training partners and you're really that environment compared to just training on your own or maybe calling some friends over. And, you know, you don't know what kind of independent he is, but I'm going to go with Bailey Cooper just because he comes from a gym and he's supposed to win. So Bailey Cooper's my pick.
All right, Bailey. Bailey Cooper wins it 2-1. Moving on to bout number 10, presented by the Valor Hour. Lightweight matchup at 155 pounds. Advanced Muay Thai rules. Zach Fox out of League Kickboxing Kentucky taking on Nick Roberts out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Tim.
Now we're getting into the meat. This is you know, some guys that we know a good bit more about. This being the Muay Thai debut, actually, for Nick Roberts, although he does have a couple fight form fixture in the Tri-Cities area. Hell, you know, he hasn't fought in a couple of years. Now he's with Bushido. I believe this will be the first time he's competed with them, taking on Zach Fox, who is 0-1. He lost his debut at the UMAF tournament. Lost that one by, I'm not quite sure if he got to the second round. I want to say it's a second round finish, but no shame there. Joshua was very good, probably the best kickboxer there that night. And so he had a really tough draw in his first match. This one should be a lot closer.
Okay, Mark Laws, is it going to be Zach Fox or Nick Roberts?
I believe in Nick Roberts, man. I've seen him fight a couple of times, and he's always impressed me, although Zach Fox impressed me at the UMAF tournament. So I'm definitely taking Nick Roberts.
All right. Mark Laws picks Nick Roberts. Sawyer Rich.
I'm going to pick Zach Fox. He comes out of League Kickboxing. He should have real good stand-up. Should go for it. Zach Fox.
All right. So we've got one for Nick Roberts, one for Zach Fox. Chandler, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh. We lost him. Chandler.
It's like, hello?
I see you right there, man. I know you're on there and you can hear me.
I am. Hello? Hello?
There he is.
Hello?
Yeah, what are you
can
doing,
you hear me?
Man?
I was talking. I kept screaming. I was like,
yeah, I need to know something. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen, I need to know something real quick. Zach Fox or Nick Roberts?
Nick Roberts.
All right, fair enough. Okay. All right. Nick Roberts takes it 2-1 as we move on. Bout number 11, Miller Lite presents the catchweight bout at 179 pounds, advanced Muay Thai. Austin Kurtz, independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee, takes on the soul snatcher, Dylan O'Sullivan, out of the compound in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim.
You know, this is one that it should be interesting. I think Dylan O'Sullivan has not competed in a couple of years, but at one time was one of the hottest prospects, you know. He's been one of the hottest prospects that has been out of the Tri-Cities area. And so, you know, we'll see if this time off, if he's developed, if he's stagnated, if he's, you know, if he'll have ring rust or not. Austin Kurtz is a guy that has been active on the other hand. You know, I believe he's coming off a win. He beat Artrip a couple shows back. So he will be making his kickboxing debut, but coming in hot off of his last MMA win.
All right, here we go. Mark Laws, make your pick on this one.
Man, no question in my mind. I think the soul snatcher gets it. I think I like Austin Kurtz. He's a great kid, man. But I just think that O'Sullivan has put in the time. I think he's been putting in the work while they've been off. And I'm going with the soul snatcher.
Dylan O'Sullivan takes round one. Sawyer Rich.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Dylan O'Sullivan on this one. Austin's at a debut from he's an independent from Mountain City. Dylan O'Sullivan comes from the compound. I think he's going to get it done early. TKO round one.
Round two goes to Dylan O'Sullivan. Chandler Cole.
It would be hard for me to pick against someone whose nickname is the Soul Snatcher. So I'm going to go with Dylan O'Sullivan. I've watched him fight, and he's really impressive. So I'm going to go with Dylan O'Sullivan.
Oh, man. So the Soul Snatcher takes a sweep all three rounds. And we move on. Bout number 12 is presented by Sprint PCS, a catchweight at 160 pounds. Also advanced Muay Thai rules. That means no headgear. Anthony Grosso out of American Top Team in Asheville, North Carolina, taking on Creighton Chevelle out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Tim, give your breakdown on this one.
You know, this is our final Muay Thai fight of the evening. Anthony Grosso making his debut, and he's coming out of that American Top Team group in Asheville, so expect him to be tough. Taking on Creighton Chevelle, who has already had his first kickboxing match and is also undefeated in MMA, but again, kind of the story of the day in a guy that has been out of action again for, you know, a year near it, if not, and you know, we'll see if he's got cage rust and kind of stepping up to fight, you know, probably his best competition yet.
All right, here we go. Let's get to the picks. Mark.
I have to go with Creighton on this one. Man, I'm thinking I'm going to go with Anthony, actually. I like Creighton a lot, man. But, you know, with it being advanced Muay Thai rules, you know, no headgear, I just believe Grosso will get it done. Knockout second round.
All right. Round one goes to Grosso. Sawyer.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Creighton Chevelle on this. I think he's got the experience factor. Comes out of Bushido MMA. It's a great stand-up school. He's fighting a guy from American Top Team. I could be wrong. I'm going to go ahead and say that, but I'm going to pick Creighton Chevelle.
All right. It's one apiece. Chandler Cole, what do you know about these guys and what's your pick?
Just from experience and going over and training, cross-training at Bushido, I assure you I would 9 times out of 10 rather MMA fight Creighton than stand up with him. He is probably by far in the top 5 of one of the smoothest strikers I've ever went with. So I'm going to say Creighton, you know, but practice is different. You never know how they're going to perform. But my heart's telling me go Creighton, and I think that he will definitely put on a show, and that's who. And that's my pick.
All right, Creighton Chevelle clinches it with the vote of 2-1. Moving on, bout number 13, brought to you by Intimate Treasures, a flyweight matchup at 125 pounds. Diego Bautista out of Knuckle Up Fitness, Sandy Springs, Georgia, taking on Hunter Thomas out of the MMA Institute in Dayton, Tennessee. Tim, a fight that really is a fight of another land taking place here tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, if common sense tells you, this one should probably be going on down in Chattanooga. Or Dalton or Rome, something like that, with both guys coming out of the area. But it's going to be a really good fight still, and really going to be a good one for the Flow audience and for the live audience. We've got Diego Bautista coming off a loss to Jacob Clemens at the Shed event in June in Maryville. He comes in at 3-3 at Knuckle Up Group in Georgia, a very solid, respected team. And he's a natural 125. He's fought all of his fights there, taking on Hunter Thomas, who at 4-1. One just lost a decision to Chase Boutwell at Worlds Collide, no shame in that, and makes his drop to 125 for the first time out of the MMA Institute in Dayton, Tennessee, trained by Jesse Grun, Jeremiah Gurley, those cats. This will be a really good one.
I really like that this one is based on two guys that are very good and well accomplished, but are both coming off of losses. And I really, because you know these guys are going to have an extra fire underneath them. And I was there cage side for both of those fights. Diego, an absolute animal. Jacob Clemens is beyond one of the best fighters in the Southeast, period, bar none, at any weight. So a loss to him is nothing to scoff at. And then Hunter Thomas, you got Chase Boutwell. Chase Boutwell delivered Hunter Thomas his first loss of his career, but it was a war. It was a battle, similar to the Stone Beverly kind of war. It was back and forth. Both of those guys were wobbled. A really fun fight to watch. So to me, this one is has got a lot of shine on it. Could be fight of the night. Mark, make your pick.
For sure. This is definitely fight of the night for me. Look, Hunter Thomas, he did great at the UMAF tournament. And, you know, against Chase Boutwell, get real. I mean, that's that's as big as it gets, you know. And you know, Diego Bautista, he looked incredible. This is a hard one for me to pick, man. So I'm gonna go with Hunter Thomas, but that's just out of loyalty. There's nothing else. I mean, I hope he gets it done.
All right, moving on. Sawyer, Hunter Thomas 1-0 right now.
Yeah, this is a really tough one to call. It's probably the toughest one on the card so far to call. Hunter Thomas got a great record. Just had his first loss to Boutwell. I'm going to go with Diego Bautista, though. Knuckle Up Fitness, Knuckle Up Boxing, great gym in Georgia. Seen a lot of those guys fight. They got great stand-up. I think he's going to get it done. Second round TKO.
All right, one apiece. Moving on to Chandler Cole. Make your pick, my man.
I'm going to go with Hunter Thomas. I think he's really tough. He grinds out, and I was really impressed to go back and check out a lot of his fights and catch up on the kid. And, you know, over YouTube, I became a fan. And I'm going to go with Hunter Thomas. That's someone I'm excited to see fight this weekend.
All right. Hunter Thomas takes it 2-1. Again, this is going to be very exciting. Two very contrasting styles clashing inside the cage. Bout number 14 is next, brought to you by 4G Custom Designs. In the middleweight division at 185 pounds, it's Caleb Lankford out of Elite Grappling Lebanon, Virginia, taking on Jared Short out of Viper Pit MMA in Hazard, Kentucky.
Yeah, this one may be my favorite fight on the card. This is, again, two guys coming off losses. Jared Short took his first loss ever at the UMAF tournament to the eventual national champion, Toma Walton. Very tough in that fight, though. He's 5-1 and very deceptive. He's a short guy, but he's very stocky, good wrestling base. Comes out of a great group there with Viper Pit, training with the Beverly Brothers, Donald Neese and company. Again, coming off his first loss against against a guy in Caleb Langford who also fought a stud in his last time out, and Jason Chavis. He lost a very hard decision there, but had a very good, in my eyes, his stock rose in that loss. Both these guys are primarily grapplers. Langford with a wrestling, both guys with wrestling backgrounds, but Langford more apt to probably go for tricky submissions, whereas Short will probably be looking to, you know, take him down, ground and pound, work position. So it's going to be a tough out for either guy, both very durable, both very solid grapplers. And again, two guys coming off a loss that should be motivated in a very close match.
Again, and as we've mentioned before, you know, fighters like Joe Lewis, we never knew how great they were until they lost. And so I think it definitely brings out something in a fighter. And again, two very contrasting styles. I'm a huge fan of Jared Short as well. He's one of those underdog type guys. You look at him and you don't expect he's going to be able to fight, and he can really, really surprise you. Caleb Langford, he really is the prototype of kind of a cyborg looking guy. He's big, muscled up dude, and he's got a great wrestling pedigree to back it up. Now let's go ahead and get these picks, Mark.
You know, Caleb Langford really surprised me in his last fight. I mean, he showed up, he showed out. I mean, he went the rounds with Jason Chavis, yeah. And I mean, that's to say something, you know. But Jared Short, I've always been a big fan. You know, he's an animal. I predict he gets it done by ground and pound in the second round.
All right, so you're picking Langford.
Jared Short.
Oh, you're picking Jared Short. Okay. All right. So Jared Short, 1-0. He takes round one. Sawyer, Rich.
I think this is going to be a good fight. Both these guys go for it. I'm picking Jared Short. He comes out of Viper Pit MMA. It's a real good school, real good camp. I'm sure he's well prepared for this. I think he's going to get it done early. Caleb Langford, he's a real good guy. He's a real good fighter, I'm sorry. I'm sure he's well-trained, had a real good camp. Jared Short.
All right, Chandler, I think you know Caleb pretty good, right?
I do, and that's why he is my pick. It's a crazy story. The kid is very motivated. I remember I came back my freshman year from college after I was wrestling, and he was just a junior, just lost in the state finals. He walked up to me and he said, "Chandler, I want to wrestle you." And I said, "Man, I outweigh you by like 20 pounds." And he said, "It doesn't matter. If I want to be the best, I got to beat the best." So, and ever since then, for the following year, he ended up winning state. And ever since then, I've been a huge fan of his, and that loss did nothing but make him better. So I can't wait to see him put on a show this weekend, and I'm going with Caleb Langford.
All right, absolutely. Kid originally out of Colorado, I think, right?
Yeah, he moved here from Colorado, and he ended up being a Virginia State champion.
All right. Okay, moving on. Bout number 15 presented by the Electric Cowboy. It's the welterweight championship bout, contested at 170 pounds. Greg Hopkins out of Mag Gym in Ringgold, Georgia, taking on Paco Maris, team out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City. Dim.
So we're going to crown our first ever Bar Battles champion here, first of two title fights. And this is two guys that are on a roll. You know, both of these guys have won their last two fights. And I would dare say that both guys have won their last two fights in the span of the past, like, 3 months. Guys that are, you know, in a way veterans, you know, Paco with several fights, several more fights than Greg. But Greg's first fight was like 7 years ago. And so it's guys that have kind of had a reemergence, if you will, in the past 2 or 3 months. Greg Hopkins coming off a win at the VFW event just a few weeks ago, turned that one around after 2 or 3 weeks. So he's taken three. This will be his third fight in probably 6-7 weeks. And he had a second round finish over Jordan Dodd. Paco, same card, finishes the veteran Billy Combs with an awesome body kick in the first round. So, and another thing about this fight is, you know, on paper, Paco's the kung fu guy. He's got the fancy kicks and it's very entertaining to watch, but is not inept on the ground. He does, I believe, have a blue belt, Casey, and is adept on the ground. And it's kind of like the inverse with Hopkins in that, you know, he is a pedigreed wrestler out of the Ringgold area in Georgia. He's got very good wrestling, but hasn't been using it. He's been boxing people to death here lately. So it's two guys that have a specialty that they're known for, but are both adept at other areas where they really don't have glaring weaknesses.
You know, when I kind of saw this fight come together, you know, Paco, he's been with us back, you know, probably a little over a year now. And when he came, you know, he was an independent fighter. He was a kung fu guy, but he had worked out in camps. Like, he'd gone to King Wrestling, and he'd worked with the wrestlers there and stuff, and was really diligent with that. And, you know, he kind of bounced around and whatnot. And once we got him in, you know, I mean, he's one of those old school guys who is, you know, really, when you look at the kung fu guys and they talk about how you leave all the ego away and all that, he really practices that. He's really zen. He's a really nice person. He's a pleasant person to be around. And it's been fun to see him kind of reemerge, you know, from a spot where he was essentially becoming a journeyman in the amateur ranks. And, it wasn't because of his skill. A lot of it was just the time and the placement and little small things. And, it's really been good to be with him and fight him, you know, have him there. On the other side, Greg Hopkins is a guy that I've kind of got to know him over the last couple of events, and he's one of the nicest guys I've met in mixed martial arts completely. You know, and so normally, you know, since I've been working with Paco, you kind of go into it. You don't have a professional kind of aggression that's out there. You don't, you know, you're not going to go, you know, chumming up with each other before the fights. At the same, I mean, I'm just respectful of both these guys, they're going to have a good, tough fight, and, you know, whoever wins that fight, that's what it's about, and it's going to take those both of them to another level in their life. So I'm excited for that one, and, you know, much respect for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing but respect for both these guys. Greg Hopkins, man, he's done nothing but impress me every single time he's been out there, and, you know, Paco, that's to go without saying. You know, I mean, to come from Team Oxendine and through that lineage, you know, I don't know who wins this fight. If I had to pick, I'm going to pick Paco, and I think he probably gets it done through something ugly, something spinning, possibly. I think it might be the knockout of the night.
Okay, Mark Laws picks Paco Maris. Saw you, Rich.
Yeah, I think this is going to be probably the most entertaining fight of the night. Maybe knockout of the night, just like Mark said. Also picking Paco Maris because he comes out of Team Oxendine. He's a really good fighter. He always comes out and goes for it. Greg Hopkins, also a great fighter. 3-0. I mean, I'm sure he's going to come out hungry. He's going to come out wanting that stoppage. It's going to be an awesome fight. Totally picking Paco Maris.
All right, that's two for Paco Maris. But moving into this third one, Chandler, you were there. You watched both of these men fight, and I think they fought in succession back at the VFW fight night. But you were there cage side. Give your analysis on this one.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with Paco just because, you know, he has 14 fights under his belt. You know, people really do not realize how many fights that is on the amateur level. And that cage experience, that cage time, and it all builds up and it all goes together as one. And, you know, Greg Hopkins, he's really good. But, like Mark, I'm going to go with El Paco. I see him winning this one by some fancy something.
All right. Paco takes the clean sweep on this one. It's going to be a tremendous matchup. Both guys very, very tough. Moving on, bout 16, it is our main event of the evening. And it's presented by TSI Diesel, and it is for the Cruiserweight Championship at 225 pounds. It's the Sun God, Jordan Ownby, out of American Top Team in Asheville, North Carolina, taking on Lance Abbott out of Temple Underground Boxing in Morristown, Tennessee. Guys, a lot of horsepower in the cage for this one.
You know, Lance Abbott steps up and takes this on about a week's notice. Props to both guys, maybe a week and a half. Props to both guys for adjusting at the last minute. And we've got our second bar battles title here, but it'll be the first like cruiserweight title we've given out. This will be at 225 pounds. So this is, we're kind of, you know, forging into new directions here with a 225 pound title, that weight being approved now with ABC. And so this was a last minute change, originally supposed to be Darian Perry, whose career was killed off last week on the Valor Hour. Now he's replaced by Lance Abbott, who is out of Temple Underground Boxing, has trained in the past with Bushido and several other people. Very strong guy. You know, he lifts a lot of weights. He's a strong man, and he has very heavy hands. He has dropped about everyone he's been in the, even if he's in losses, he has still dropped about everyone he's been in the cage with. Taking on Jordan Ownby, who, one of my favorite characters in this whole game. Ownby is something else. He's very skilled. I mean, great wrestling, college wrestling background at Davidson, 2-0. Really kind of ran through Charles Philpott in March, a fight that I thought would be much closer than it was. And on top of that, again, just a really cool character, definitely a different guy, very intellectual guy, and a showman.
All right. So my take on this fight is very exciting because it's so contrasting. These two guys are so very different. And you've got Jordan Ownby, who has that wrestling pedigree. He is very cagey. You can see that he tolls forward. He puts a lot of pressure on, and he creates a lot of pressure. You can see that. Charles Philpott is a tough kid, and he was able to really control that fight and keep that pressure on. That being said, Lance Abbott is a guy who has fought as light as 185 pounds, but he is really muscled up. And, you know, with that being said, he's going to have a tremendous amount of power. He will come out slinging his arms with everything that he has, and we've not seen him this heavy before. So this could accentuate that power even more. So that makes him extremely dangerous in the early goings of that fight. Yeah, he virtually will not tap. The guy, you know, he pushes, you know, very, very hard very early. But that being said, he could risk kind of tapering off as we, you know, head really out of the first round. He's going to come with a huge blast throughout that first round. And then he still is known for having staying power. He'll go the distance, but he usually isn't as powerful as he is in the first. But the question is, can Jordan Ownby last that first barrage? Tim, or Mark, rather.
You know, Lance Abbott is one of the toughest dudes I've ever met in my entire life. And I'd slipped on Ownby the first couple of times, man. I'm not going to lie. But, man, he has convinced me, and I think Ownby gets this done, you know. But, listen, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy these last three fights. No question asked. Somebody's going to be bleeding, possibly both. So, I'm excited, but I think definitely I'm going with Ownby.
All right. Round one goes to the Sun God, Sawyer.
I think it's going to be a really entertaining fight, really good main event. Lance Abbott's a real strong guy. I think Ownby, coming out of American Top Team, I think he's going to look for the takedown. I think Abbott may be too strong for him. I'm going to pick Jordan Ownby. I think he's got a win streak. I think he's going to put it to 3-0, and I think he might have more drive.
All right. The Sun God's up 2-0. Chandler, what's your take on this one?
You know, he fought my teammate, Philpott, back in March, and he really impressed me. So I'm going to go with Jordan Ownby. I see him out-wrestling Lance Abbott. You know, Lance Abbott's tough, but, you know, I think from personal experience, just because you put on weight and you put on strength, that's really not the it's not the way to look at MMA fights. So, you know, it may be a lean 225, but I guess we'll just have to watch it. But from what I've heard and watching Jordan, I'm going to have to go with Jordan Ownby. And with that being said, Mark, you're the only person I know that would say, I'm excited to clean up people's blood. I just want everybody to know that. You're the only guy I know that would say that.
225 looks pretty appetizing to Chandler.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Chandler, what do you think about this? Going 225 in MMA.
I go heavyweight, 225, 205, 125. Nah, I like it. I think it's really cool, and I'm excited to see what the future holds with the whole weight class ordeal. And I think that's really cool that Valor's – or not Valor, but the Bar Brawls are doing the 225, and, you know, maybe it'll transition over to Valor, and that's something to look into.
Well, just like Bar Battles itself, this Cruiserweight Championship is an experiment. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, and just talking about it as a whole, You know, this whole card, I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I think the energy and what we bring to the table as a total package is really going to, you know, blow their hats off. We saw it at the VFW fights earlier last month. And, you know, again, it's all about having a good time with it, putting together really good, exciting fights, well-matched fights of all levels, because when you take, you know, Tim here, going to give him a little bit of a push, but, you know, it's not always the top fighters throughout the card. I mean, you have to have an ascending order of you know, of levels. As, you know, the fighters get better, they're going to ascend up the card. But it is very important to have good fights from top to finish, and that's something that Tim always shows. You see it with Valor fights, but with bar battles, we get, you know, we're able to let our hair down a little bit, and so we're very excited about that. Of course, we're going to Myrtle Beach October 7th, actually Little River, and it's going to be at Crab Catchers, and that's, of course, the best seafood there is I've ever had in my life. It's fresh. They've got a boat right there. They go out and they fish for it right there, and they bring it back, and all their seafood is just amazing. We got some of it, Tim.
They give you so much of it. It's awesome, man. Like, it's incredible. Donnie and those folks have really got their shit together out there. It's definitely something we're checking out.
Donnie Kettner's the one running. It's going to be a tent party, which is really, really cool. But, you know, we'll get into that, you know, very, very soon. Now it's all about cage fights at the Cowboy. Get your tickets now at events.com. We're getting ready to shut that down this afternoon, and then after that, it's going to be it's a free for all over there. When you're coming to get tickets, we're pretty much almost gone, man. This is a very intimate venue, so get your tickets now. That does it for our official preview and another episode of the Valor Hour. Remember to watch us each week as we share the headlines from fights and combat sports across the world. Remember to catch us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. And that does it for another episode of the Valor Hour. This has been Casey Oxendon, Tim Loy, Mark Law, Sawyer Rich, and of course Chandler Cole via satellite all the way down there in Virginia. We'll catch you tomorrow at Cage Fights and the Cowboy, another episode of the Valor Hour. Thank you.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.